This is the Fantasy Road Show.
Welcome in to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. We are the I wanted to say the rule one. I'm not even gonna play the music. I'll just start.
Okay.
Welcome in to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show with your boys here. I am Truck, and I'm joined as always by Shane O'Mac. And today we're talking about the ridiculous week one. All the reactions, fantasy fallout. We're going to be going through each game in depth and talk about some buy and sells after week one. A lot of overreactions. Shane, how was week one's football for you?
It was crazy. I'm going to admit, not the best week fantasy-wise for me, it seemed like. But personally-wise, for Dallas, it was a great afternoon game to watch that we'll get into. So,
yes, we will talk about that. Pleasantly surprised with how Dallas played. But, yeah, good on you. Your team got to win. My team got to win. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about all of it right now. Let's just get right into it. First game is that we're going to talk about is the Atlanta Falcons at home taking on the Steelers. We all thought that the Falcons were going to play much better, but turns out Steelers defense is still really good. Okay, that's one thing for sure. Justin Fields ended up getting the start with Russell Wilson not playing. And, we saw what I saw from watching the game that the team really put Justin in a few spots to kind of, not do too much. You know what I mean? So I thought he played pretty well. His stat line was better than Caleb's. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. But overall, Shane, what did you think about that game?
Yeah, I think he played well. Like, he made the big throws that he had to at the time. I think, like, my biggest takeaway was I'm a little bit concerned from the Falcons side of things. I mean, Kirk Cousins did not look good. You saw Mooney, he ran the same amount of routes as Drake London did, and he only got, I think, one less target than London did. So that was hopefully maybe just a week one blip in the process, but we'll have to see.
So I'm not too concerned about Drake London. There was actually a lot of receivers, Chris Olave, Drake London, quite a few that just didn't perform as expected. But I think Drake London, the better days ahead. What was concerning to me was Kirk Cousins. There was a clip going around on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it, where he's trying to plant on the foot that with the Achilles injury happened, and he wasn't getting a lot of emphasis off that foot and getting zip on the ball. I mean, the play in question was a little, maybe he was deciding mid-throw that, hey, if I throw this how I want to throw it, it's going to get picked. So then it was a split decision. I don't know the real situation inside Kirk Cousins' head, but from the film, it doesn't look good. It's just tough. Kyle Pitts did get a touchdown, but, 23 routes, only three targets. It's concerning all across the board, right?
Yep. Except for Bijan. I really liked what I saw from Bijan. Bijan was like, they moved him around. Like, they were putting him in the slot at times. And then unlike last year with Arthur Smith, he played, I think it was 90% of the snaps. So there was no division of snaps between him and Tyler Algier. So he got to be the dominant guy, workhorse that we finally were waiting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, on the other side of the ball, the Steelers, Najee Harris, 20 carries. Jaylen Warren, two carries. So Najee was out there for all the short yardage, the quick, when they needed some plays that'd be out of the backfield, he was there. So that's intriguing to see for Najee owners. But, Jaylen Warren, only two receptions, two carries. We expected this with him coming back from his injury. So, overall, I mean, what's my biggest takeaway from this is I'm not freaking out about Drake London. I think he's going to come back, and I think he's going to play well in week two. Although I'm pretty sure, don't they play is it the Eagles or the Chiefs in week two?
It might be the Chiefs. I think I have to look.
That. I know that I think their next two games are the Eagles and Chiefs. So that's going to be tough. Going to be tough games ahead for Drake London, but I do think he figures it out. What's your takeaway from the game?
Yeah, I agree. Don't worry too much. And then, You know, you said it, I think it was on our Sunday morning show, you know, you shouldn't worry too much about Justin Fields being in at quarterback if you're George Pickens' owner. Like, and Pickens, sure enough, I mean, he was a target hog. He was the DJ Moore of last year with Justin Fields. He just zeroed in on him the whole game. And so he's going to have value still, even if it's Fields out there.
Yeah, he's a true number one wide receiver. 7 targets, 6 receptions, 85 yards. He got it done. In PPR leagues, you're very happy for sure. Yep. So, but yeah, Steelers got the win 18-10. They didn't score a touchdown. Is that right?
All field goals. Yep. Chris Boswell. Didn't score
a touchdown. Winning games without scoring touchdown, the Steelers football, right? Mm-hmm. Can't really say much with my Bears. But anyway, we have the Buffalo Bills beating the Arizona Cardinals 34-28 in Buffalo. With this game, just right in the beginning, I was texting calls. I'm like, dude, James Conner looks great. They were going to Conner a lot. Early carries and early targets. He is the true bell cow. Trey Benson was just not really involved. I don't know how much of a role he's going to have moving forward if James Conner stays healthy. He hasn't been able to do that in a full season, but we'll see what happens. You never know, right? It's just I'm happy I drafted James Conner and that he's my guy. What'd you get from this game?
Yeah, he dominated touches. Benson, he got, I think, maybe a couple of series, but nothing like what a lot of people thought, where it may be like a 60-40 split or anything like that. You know, much like Drake London, don't freak out if you're Marvin Harrison Jr. owner. I mean, he had 1 catch for 4 yards, but man, I mean, the clip has gone around. Like, Kyler missed him wide open for a touchdown.
Yeah, I saw the clip. It was just, I thought Arizona Cardinals would play better against the Bills defense. You know, the Bills defense lost Matt Milano and a couple of other pieces through in the offseason, but the defense played well. I mean, they still let up 28 points, but overall, Kyler Murray kept him to 162 yards. James Conner, 50 yards rushing. Like, their best receiver, Greg Dortch, 6 for 47, mm-hmm, on 8 targets. You know, Trey McBride led the team with 9 targets, only ended up getting 5 for 30. But yeah, Michael Wilson caught a touchdown. That was nice to see for Michael Wilson owners. But overall, Marvin Harrison, you drafted him really high, and it's disappointing. But again, you know, I'm not overreacting with these players. You know, we'll talk about it later on in the buy or sell. But, you know, maybe take advantage of owners that are overreacting and see if you can get them at a cheaper price. But so as far as the Bills go, James Cook, 19 carries. That was great. Keon Coleman, he led the team in targets, 5 targets, 4 receptions, 51 yards. You know who didn't really do well was Dalton Kincaid.
I know. That one hurt me a lot. Yeah. A lot of leagues.
Yeah. Everyone's just expecting him to be the number one target, and he clearly wasn't.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I didn't dive too much into that, into why, but only 1 reception, 11 yards. That's tough.
Yeah, he was on the field a lot. It just, I don't know, you know, and they were running some 2 tight ends when I was watching, so they had Knox out there. But, you know, he still had a pretty good margin over Knox as far as like routes run and snaps. You know, I think part of this could just be like the Bills are going to be a little bit more, maybe more committed to the run in the run game. Like, James Cook usage was really nice to see. I thought maybe we'd see even a little bit more Ray Davis than but we didn't.
Yeah, I thought so too. I was expecting a little more Ray Ray Davis. 3 carries, 13 yards. Did have 4.33 yards per carry, so it's encouraging. But James Cook, 19 carries, 71 yards. It's really good. And then also Josh Allen, for all the people that were fading Josh Allen in rounds 2 or 3. Like he was being drafted the past couple of years, you know, thinking, hey, he doesn't have the elite wide receiver core anymore. Is he really going to get it done? Yeah. 232 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 9 for 39, and 2 more rushing touchdowns. This guy scores rushing touchdowns. Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, it's the elite fantasy rushing upside. So, I bet you're happy you drafted Josh Allen. I'm talking to you, Coles, because you drafted him in like every league. But overall, I am a little worried about Kincaid. I'm not as worried about Drake London and Marvin Harrison. A little bit more worried about Kincaid, but I do think better days are ahead. I'm not going to get too worried. Love seeing Keon Coleman as the leading target.
Yeah,
he looked really good on the field. So that's kind of my biggest takeaway. Keon Coleman, definitely wide receiver one. That question has been answered. James Cook, heavy usage. And, you know, hopefully we see more Marvin eventually.
Yep.
All right. Next game we have my Chicago Bears winning the game 24-17. Impressive that they got to 24. The defense wins games and defense wins championships in Chicago because, you know, our defense is superior to our offense currently. Caleb Williams only had 93 yards. My reaction to this is, hey, he's a rookie. I understand the hype. I understand people are comparing him to Caleb Williams, but the guy's a rookie. He didn't play much in the preseason, or you don't see a lot in preseason. You can't put a lot of weight into that. So this is his first game in the NFL. I'm not too worried. I think better days are ahead for the Chicago Bears offense, but it was a little concerning. Keenan Allen, 11 targets, didn't end up with much. I think what did Keenan end up with? Let's see. 4 receptions on 11 targets.
Yeah.
Caleb wasn't throwing great passes. You know, I'll be the first to admit that there was a lot of times where he was just missing guys when he shouldn't have been, but I'm not going to freak out. I'm not calling him a bust. And if you are, stop it. Like you know what I mean? It's one game. It's his rookie year with a new offense and a new system that they're trying to develop. So I think with time, the Bears are going to figure it out. And hey, we played a bad game and still won. So, you know what I mean? As soon as our offense starts playing better, the sky's the limit for Chicago.
And Keenan Allen dropped a touchdown pass. He dropped it.
Yeah, hit him right in the hands.
Right in the hands.
Hardly ever do you see Keenan Allen do something like that. So,
and can we just talk about how horrible, like Daniel Jones-esque that pass was from Will Levis on the pick six? I mean, that was maybe the worst thing I've seen in a long time.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, I was happy with the outcome, but it's just kind of one of those things, like, there's no upside in that throw.
Oh,
like, you're just, that was a terrible decision. How about Tony Pollard? 16 carries. Tajay Spear, only 4 carries. Tajay had 4 receptions. They both had 4 targets, so they were both involved in the passing game. For those of you who thought Tajay was going to be a passing down back and Pollard was going to be the running down, it's not that cut and dry. So just so you guys are aware, Tony Pollard, he ran well. You know, the Bears defense last year towards the end of the year had a great rushing defense. He was able to get 5.13 yards per carry, 5.13. 16 carries, 82 yards with a touchdown. He looked good. He looked good.
Yeah, I think like all summer I've been saying when people are asking me which side of this backfield are you taking, and the same thing with the Bengals, I always kept saying I'm following what the team's commitment and money was. They went out early in free agency period to sign Pollard, signed him to a good contract. I always thought because of that, that's who they were going to lean at least out of the gate with to get the carries.
Yep. Yep. Calvin Ridley, 3 for 50 on 7 targets. DeAndre Hopkins was active, but only 1 target, 1 reception, 8 yards.
Yeah.
So
I think he was on the snap count. Yeah.
So, and then with DeAndre Swift, just negative game script. They were playing from behind pretty much the entire game. I would have liked to see a little bit more passing work for DeAndre. Yeah. You know, when Caleb's in trouble like that, I want to see him look to go to Swift and just dump it off. You know, just don't try to process too much if you can't figure it out, you know. So I'm praying and hoping that better days are ahead for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, one target he had, that was surprising to me. And then not so much surprising, I think we talked about it, you know, before, was like the Gerald Everett thing is real. Like he out-snapped and out-route-ran Cole Kmet, which we had kind of seen happening in the preseason.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. That's concerning for Cole Kmet owners. But Bears got the win. Okay, yep. That's all I care about. We got
Bear
the
down.
Win.
Bear down.
Bear down. I love to hear that, Shane. All right, next game. This one is a doozy. Cincinnati Bengals losing to the New England Patriots. We were talking on Sunday morning and just like, dude, there's no way the Patriots win, right? And that's when, you know, what I'm learning is, you know, when you're so confident in one direction, like, hey, something's going to go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, So ultimately, they couldn't really get anything done. They looked, you know, piss poor is a better way to say it. You know, Joe Burrow, only 164 yards. Zach Moss was the main guy, 9 carries to Chase Brown's 3. Zach Moss had more targets as well. So Zach Moss is the guy there. Hopefully Chase Brown gets involved more when the Bengals are putting up more points and playing better. But Zach Moss is the guy for anyone that was wondering what was going on with that. Jamar Chase caught all 6 of his targets. That was great to see. Yosi Voss didn't end up doing as well as we had hoped with T. Higgins out. Mike Gesicki looked pretty good. He got that touchdown that got called back. So Gesicki is interesting. Someone I'll be keeping an eye on moving forward. And then as far as the Patriots go, dude, Ramondre Stevenson is just, he's really good. You know what I mean? He's a good running back, 25 carries, 120 yards and a touchdown. Just the main piece to this entire offense, to the Patriots offense.
I think his rush attempt line was like a 13, 12 or 13, something just like, when I saw that and I was like, that's interesting, because looking at it, we probably should have seen this coming. Like, the Bengals defensive line in front is not good. They were not that great last year. And then they lost DJ Reader from that defensive line. So we probably should have seen some of this coming, them able to just run the ball down their throat, you know, most of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Not much going on in the Patriots passing game. Jacoby Brissett only had 121 yards. You know, KJ Osborne led the team in targets, but only had 3 for 21. So I was hoping to see more DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, but nothing really came to fruition. So, you know, stay away from that passing game.
Yeah, stay away from it all. Don't try to pick up anybody.
Yeah, I still can't believe they lost that game. Just the Bengals. Come on, dude. And the Bengals, they start slow. You know what I mean? Every year, it's the same story. Do. So, you know, probably should have thought about that. But at the same time, it's a little tough. So, all right, moving on. We have the, let's see here, Indianapolis Colts losing a close game to the Houston Texans, 29-27. You know, my whole thing right here is Anthony Richardson, man. You know, made a couple of questionable throws early, but later on it was just he was slinging it, just absolutely slinging it, dude. And he looked pretty good. So I don't know. What'd you think here, Shane?
Yeah, that may have been one of the best touchdown pass throws I've seen to Pierce in a long time. Just the platform he was throwing off of, and it was almost 70 yards in the air. I mean, that was just ridiculous. You know, and on their side, Pierce is going to stand out because he had the 125 yard receiving day and the touchdown. But AD Mitchell could have easily had 2 touchdowns in that game.
Yes, absolutely. So keep an eye out for AD Mitchell.
And he out targeted Pierce in that game, and just Richardson just barely missed him on 2 easy throws.
How about Joe Mixon, dude? 30 carries, 159 yards, and 1 touchdown. Just over 5 yards per carry. Absolutely dominating performance. Yeah. Love to see it. Nico Collins is the number one. Okay, I know Stephon Diggs had 2 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs is good in the red zone, but Nico with 8 targets, 6 for 117. He's going to have games like that. And I think all 3 of them are going to be productive the entire season. So you got nothing to worry about whether you drafted either one of those between Nico, Tank, and Stephon Diggs. So. Overall, tough game. This division is tough. You know, 29-27 score. It's Texans were the better team. They ended up winning, but the Colts played well against a tough team. So you got to be happy if you're a Colts fan, you know?
Yep, that was good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and introduce our very special guest for the episode. We'll be right back. All righty. Welcome back. We have a very special guest for you guys today. We have Carolina Dad at 2Growls1Roar, a.k.a. Chicka Chicka Elite Kennedy. How you doing, buddy? Welcome in. Good to see you.
I'm doing as good as you can after yesterday.
Yeah, tough game. We wanted to bring you on and, you know, talk about the game. They lost 47-10. Divisional game, tough matchup. We want to get your immediate reaction and kind of your gauge on how things went and where we go moving forward with the Panthers, you know?
Hey, it's a great question. Immediate reaction is on the side of overreaction in Carolina right now. And I'll say our fan base has been divided since Bryce Young's taken over. And unfortunately, there is a Team Bryce where a lot of people reside, and then a Team CJ Stroud, Team whoever. And it's been divided for the longest time, understandably so, when you see what CJ Stroud did last year. At this point, we are now seeing folks, and you may, when I say folks, I may be in this group, that you truly are starting to wonder, is the game just too big for Bryce Young? And I hate to say it because I've supported him, but we are now in, technically it's game 17. It's in a second season, but we're sitting back, and you watch yesterday and the very first play that he comes out, it's almost like, I'm like, is this a replay of last year when we played Atlanta? And we heard a lot about the offseason. Sorry, the dogs are going crazy. So sorry,
it's all good. It's all good. They're out listening.
It just felt like a repeat of last year. And it was unfortunate, man. It was the worst start that you could have. We had busted coverage on the Saints side.
The dog's hurting, man. It was a tough game.
For real.
Tough
he's like, game. I can't take it.
Yeah.
We had the busted coverage. Then Bryce throws the interception. And unfortunately, it went downhill fast. And they never recovered. And for y'all's sake and your listeners from a fantasy standpoint, not great by any means. I'm going to try, like, while y'all talk through that for a second, I'm going to try to put the dog up. Sorry.
Okay. No, fair enough. Yeah. All good. Do your thing. It was, Shane, it was a tough game, dude. This was like, nothing went the way for the Panthers. Chuba Hubbard, 6 for 14, Miles Sanders, 5 for 22. Xavier Leggett led the team in targets with 7 targets. Deontay Johnson, 6 targets, only 2 catches for 19 yards. Adam Thielen had the most yards with 49, but I thought we were going to see a lot more Deontay Johnson. I thought we were going to see a lot more Xavier Leggett. I thought he was going to produce a little bit more for you guys, but just kind of talking over the production of the team overall, you know. He was able to target them, but nothing really ended up coming of it. So,
and I think my biggest surprise of this was I was expecting much more from a Canales-led offense. Like, I can't remember what the stat I saw was this morning, but it was, I think they were either like the third or the second lowest, like pre-snap motion rate on pass plays in week one. And I just thought maybe we'd see a little bit more creativity from Canales in that offense this year.
I agree. It doesn't surprise me if they were at the bottom of that list. I don't know. There's a lot of questions in Carolina in general right now. I think Dave Canales has got time. And I don't know if it's this year that they even get close to being competitive, but I think he has a little more time than what we've seen in years past. But it was a terrible showing, man. And even Bryce, he just couldn't hit the basic throws. There were quite a few. Speaking of Johnson was open. The rushing attack just wasn't there either. That was what Canales talked about all offseason. We're going to run the ball. And maybe, I guess, because you get down, you don't run it as much as you thought. But, yeah, from a production standpoint, like Miles Sanders being the leading rusher, and Miles Sanders is – he's not the Miles Sanders of Philly, which we know.
I'll tell you what. I thought his name was left for dead. I didn't think we were going to see any relevant news from Miles Sanders. But, hey, you still got hope, man. Jonathan Brooks, when he comes back, you know what I mean? We're holding out hope that he can kind of save the day and bring some life into the offense. But, I'm not going to overreact. I do think the Panthers will have better games. Next week they got the Chargers. They're home against the Chargers. And then the Raiders after that. So it's not like you got two juggernauts coming up. You got two winnable games, in my opinion. And, I'm hoping to see better production out of the offense, and hopefully Bryce can figure it out. But week one is just kind of the same old story, you know.
It is. A lot of people wanted – this is the head-scratcher. A lot of folks wanted this the first-team offense to play in the preseason. They only played the one series against Buffalo – the third game against their backups, and we get into the post game and today, and Canales is reevaluating if he made the right decision. And it's, he said something along the lines of, yeah, these guys just haven't played a lot together. And we're like, well, yeah, and you chose not to get them valuable reps. It was your decision, and you're now admitting it. I don't, it's a wild time, man.
I personally think that they should play more starters. Starters should play more time in the preseason. You know what I mean?
Like, our team needed it.
Yeah, so did mine, dude. The Bears looked embarrassing, right? Yep. For lack of better words. But I do think better days are ahead for both of us. And I appreciate you coming on, talking over the game. And we'll have you on later on in the season, hopefully, when things turn around, right?
For sure, man. And I will say one, I don't think it really impacts fantasy, but maybe defensive-wise, defense was terrible, which we know. We did get news that Derek Brown has a torn meniscus. It's being evaluated. Yeah. That's a big blow to this defense that already, like, after yesterday. I don't know if the Saints are really that much better or if we were just that bad or if it's a mixture of both. They just had a great day, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm holding out hope for you, all right?
That's it, man.
We appreciate you coming on. Thanks as always.
You got it, man. Thank you all.
All right. See you.
And welcome back. We're going to finish going through the rest of the slate here. Always enjoy talking to Elite Kennedy, Carolina dad. That guy's great. Tough game for the Panthers either way. So next game, we have the Miami Dolphins winning a close game 20-17 to the Jacksonville Jags. They won it late. Did you get to watch this game at all? What'd you think?
I watched it. They were not handcuffed in this game at all. They came back. You didn't even catch my little play on words there, Truck.
What'd
handcuffed.
You say?
They weren't handcuffed in the game.
Oh, God. They weren't handcuffed.
Yes. Come on. Okay. Where's our little put up?
Roasted. Boom. Roasted. All right. Cool. All right. What do we got here?
So my biggest takeaway on the Dolphins side was, man, that usage from A-Chain was incredible. Like, putting him out, I don't remember what the number was. I saw it. Somebody has put it out there, what his slot usage was. It was incredibly high where they were playing him. That's how that guy can be a top five running back and last throughout the year. Limit his rushes and get him out as a receiver, get him out in space, and playing like that. That's how he could really crush his ADP value.
I mean, hats off to Mike McDaniel. McDaniel. I almost call him Mike McDonald. Mike McDaniel, hats off to him because, yeah, you're putting your best player in the right position, getting him in the open field. So Devon Achane looks like he could be a league winner, man. This guy just is an absolute freak on the football field. So,
and they still gave him, I think it was two or three rush opportunities inside, like, the three-yard line. They did bring Mostert in for that. So that was encouraging, too.
Very encouraging. So, and Raheem Mostert, bad game, man. You know, 6 carries, 9 yards. We did recommend starting him, so that was kind of a miss on our part, but the script was there for him. Yeah. Just didn't come into fruition. So love to see this from Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, right? Waddle had a tough time last year, but 5 for 109 on 5 targets is incredible. Mm-hmm. So you love to see that. And then Tyreek doing Tyreek things, man, 7 for 130 and a touchdown on 12 targets. Just an absolute beast. And that celebration was pretty epic.
That was good.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, Tua, 338 yards, you know, led the league last year in passing yards. So love to see it. Overall, great game. As far as the Jaguars go, I am very concerned for Travis Etienne. 50-50 split with Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby. You know, we heard early on in the offseason that Tank was going to have a role. I just didn't think it was going to be like this, man.
No.
He had over 6 yards per carry, 12 for 73. Etienne, 12 for 44. Etienne did get the touchdown, which was nice to see. They still prioritize him. He's the 1A, but it looks like Tank is the 1B. And last year it wasn't that way. We saw Travis Etienne with, you know, games with 18, 19 carries and getting the job done. So, and then Brian Thomas caught a touchdown. Love to see BTJ in action. Christian Kirk, 4 targets, only 1 for 30. You know, and Evan Ingram was the big surprise to me. You know, wasn't as active in the passing game as he was last year. So I think that turns around. If you did draft Evan Ingram, I wouldn't worry about it. I think he's going to be a heavy target for Trevor Lawrence, but
I think this offense, you're just going to see the ball spread out. I mean, you had Gabe Davis go 3 for 62. You already said Brian Thomas Jr. And Kirk had a down game. I think he's dealing with kind of a calf issue. But they've got multiple people to spread out the ball. And I would be a little concerned about if I'm expecting a big target volume as a Christian Kirk owner or an Evan Engram owner. I just don't know with those additions now. And Brian Thomas is just going to keep getting better and better.
That's the thing, man. Yeah, Brian Thomas. Like, if you drafted him late, dude, you're ecstatic with that game. I mean, only 4 for 47, but you love what you've seen. You know, he caught every target and he caught a touchdown. So maybe Trevor's going to be trusting him more often. And I think this is just the beginning for BTJ. Brian Thomas, I think, ends up the season as the most productive wide receiver on the team. So
yep, for sure.
Would have liked to see a better game from Trevor. I know, you know, he wasn't ranked in the top 10. He's kind of down in the, you know, 15 range, but 12 for 21, 162 yards is a little tough. I'm still waiting to see Trevor break out of his shell and really produce for fantasy-wise, you know.
Yeah, it's been like, I think we saw this last year, like they're getting down near in the red zone and near the goal line. They're running more with ETN. I think we'll still see that.
And now the addition of Tank Bigsby role. So, yeah, overall big win for the Dolphins fam, and tough loss for Jags, but close game ultimately. So, all right, next game that we got wrong. The New York Giants.
Oh man,
they lost to the Minnesota Vikings 28-6.
Real quick, is that the most hideous throwback uniforms you've ever seen?
Okay, I'm in the minority here.
No, you did not like them.
Don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay, I don't like them, but I don't hate them. It's one of those things where it's a throwback. I don't think many of the throwbacks look that good, like the Steelers throwback. Like, it's definitely not the best throwback uniform, but you know, I don't hate it. They're trying something different, and I, you know, the color scheme, it's a little weird, but I'm not one of the people that are like, dude, get these uniforms off, they're trash, they're garbage, they look disgusting, they're gross. I don't mind them. Okay, the Giants look gross. The uniforms match the production. Okay,
yep, that's true.
You know what I mean? And I saw reports come out that, you know, they said that Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback moving forward. Like, why do you even have to make that statement? Why do you have to come out and say he's the guy moving forward when you paid him all that money years ago? So just overall terrible. Malik Nabers, 7 targets, 5 for 66, which was really interesting. Wandale Robinson, 12 targets, was 6 for 44, but the 12 targets is very encouraging for Wandale, who basically went undrafted or, you know, some leagues he was drafted. Maybe someone we talk about in the waiver wire, but very intriguing to see for you know, Wandale Robinson, but the targets aren't really valuable with Daniel Jones throwing the ball. No. Did you see Malik Nabers talking after the game? He's like, I don't know what was going on back there, but like, you know, so I was trying to get open. So,
I mean, I think it was an accomplishment for him to get to, I think it was 11 or 12 PPR points. But anytime they were, the one time they were down near the goal line, they just doubled him. They just took him away completely near the end zone.
Yeah, I'm just, I worry about Malik Nabers' upside, his ceiling with Daniel Jones at quarterback.
Yeah,
so for sure. I was hoping that the addition of Malik Nabers would propel Daniel Jones to play better, but, you know, just a little tough. 50% completion percentage. 186 yards, but 2 interceptions. A little, you know, tough. I still stand by it. Daniel Jones will not be the quarterback next year.
Definitely not. So Coles is losing that bet for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Vikings, dude. Sam Darnold looked really good. He played really well. 19 for 24, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns. Did throw an interception, but overall he played well. You know, he didn't really target Justin Jefferson like we would have expected. JJ only 4 for 59 on 6 targets. But I think, you know, as the games go on, I think JJ will get his. So he's still that elite wide receiver that's going to end up having those monstrosity games. But overall, I think the Vikings looked pretty good. Sam Darnold played well. And that's my takeaway from that game.
Yeah, he definitely played well enough to make their receivers relevant. Jordan Addison left the game with an ankle injury. He went into the game with an ankle injury. So I'd expect he's going to miss some time, at least one game, I'm betting. So probably Naylor will be the guy that you'd want to watch if you're getting to pick up somebody. I had drafted him in our Dynasty League and kept him on my active roster just after I saw how he looked in the preseason.
Yeah.
He came up with the score on Sunday, so he's a name to watch.
And Aaron Jones played really well too. I got to highlight Aaron Jones, 14 for 94 and a touchdown, 6.71 per carry. Great for an aging running back on a new team. I was very impressed with how he played. But, again, taking on the Giants. So, tough schedule coming up for the Vikings. You know, we'll see how they play. We'll see how they perform. But week one is very encouraging for the Vikings fans.
Yeah.
All right, next game, we have the Los Angeles Chargers in a very heated matchup against the Vegas Raiders. That is becoming like the new best rivalry, dude.
Yeah, it
is. Like they're throwing punches on the field. You love to see it, man. Chargers get a big win, 22-10. What's your takeaway here? What'd you see in this game?
Well, I am gonna admit it, like I was completely wrong. I was pro Gus, not pro Dobbins. And Dobbins, for one game, looked like the much more explosive back. The only thing I'll hang my hat on is that Gus Edwards got more carries than he did. Now it's only just one more carry. But, yeah, Dobbins just looked so much better. Now, you could tell, like, the old Dobbins would have broken away and scored on some of those longer runs, but still.
Yeah, you know, I don't think conditioning is right where it needs to be. You know, once we see him in midseason form, but dude, this is like something we've never seen before as a running back, as young as he is, having gone through the gruesome injuries that he went through, and that being able to play like that. There's that clip out there where he broke that big run.
Yeah.
He looked quick. He looked quick. He looked great. I think J.K. Dobbins is the running back one on the team. I think after that performance, you're going to see it kind of – the scales might tip a little bit. Gus still might vulture some touchdowns. He's still going to get 10-plus carries a game. But J.K. is – this team's going to want to run the ball, and J.K. is in line. So if you drafted him, you're happy. Yeah. I love it because we drafted him a lot in underdog and have a high percentage. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but J.K. Dobbins, man, he looked good. I'm very happy to see that.
He did.
Quentin Johnston caught some balls. Yeah. 3 catches, 38 yards on 5 targets. A little worried about Josh Palmer. I thought Palmer was going to be the main guy there, only 2 for 15 on 4 targets. J.K. did have three receptions, 2 in the passing game. So, you know, that PPR league with the rushing upside, I think J.K.'s in a good spot, but Ladd McConkey, most targets, 7 targets, 5 for 39, and did get the touchdown. I mean, what else did you see here, Shane?
I will say on Palmer, just the positive from him is that of all the receivers, he did have the most routes run and the most snaps of the receivers. As a Ladd McConkey owner, though, I mean, I was watching some of that game, and there was some plays where he was in on this 2 wide receiver set, so it's not just like he's got to be in there on 3 receiver sets and he's purely playing from the slot. He got some time outside of that. So, I mean, that was good to see because that was the only slight concern you had with him probably going into week one.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Justin Herbert, 17 for 26, 144 yards and a touchdown. Would have liked to see a better game from Herbert. You know, very unlike him, only 144 yards, but the team's going to want to run the ball a lot and we'll see how they play moving forward. But I think they're in a good spot with where they're at, you know. And then as far as the Raiders go, didn't like to see or would have liked to see Davante Adams be a little bit more productive, 6 targets, 5 for 59. The biggest takeaway for me is Brock Bowers, man. Brock Bowers, 8 targets, 6 for 58, heavily involved in that offense and kind of line up all over the place. So if you're happy about Brock Bowers, man, or if you drafted Brock Bowers, you know, you're happy for sure.
Yeah, he was out there. I guess, you know, we didn't see a lot of him in the preseason. I think he had some lingering issues going on, but his usage was great to see. The usage from Zamir White, not so much, the running back.
Yeah,
room.
Yeah.
I thought he would dominate the carries and touches much more than he did.
Definitely. I can't wait to see him or these teams play again later on in the season. I'm excited for that. Love a good rivalry, you know.
Yeah.
And then we have the Seattle Seahawks beat the Broncos 26-20. close game, but the Broncos, man, just tough sledding. You know, Bo Nix, 138 yards, two interceptions. When, you know, he was good with a little dink and dunk, but when he's trying to push the ball down the field, he just wasn't making good decisions. Some rushing upside, though, for Bo Nix.
Yeah.
5 for 35 and a rushing touchdown, which was great to see. Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin. Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. Jaleel, 10 carries. Javonte, 8. Both right around the same, 2.7, 2.8 yards per carry. And Jaleel, 5 receptions on 5 targets. Only had 1 yard, but in PPR leagues, you're fine with the 5 receptions. Yep. That's very intriguing. Jaleel needs to be owned. If he's not picked up in your league, he has to be owned. I'm very intrigued moving forward. Greg Dulcich, only 2 for 12. Would have liked to see better Greg Dulcich there after we've been beating the drum for him all offseason, but what'd you see here with this Broncos team?
So that's been my cause for concern with Javonte Williams all summer. I wasn't drafting very much of him. Was that team kept talking up Jaleel McLaughlin all summer, wanted to use him. I wasn't too surprised of his usage. I think that's going to be something going forward. I mean, he showed last year when he can get 10 touches, he averaged, I think, 15 or 16 PPR points. So I think this is a concerning, this isn't an outlier. I think this, as long as he stays healthy, this is going to be a thing going forward. So,
yeah, absolutely. Next game, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating the Commanders 37-20, kind of right where we talked about, man. I was telling everybody you're going to want to start Baker Mayfield. Baker went out and had a fantastic day, 289 yards and 4 touchdowns, just an absolute stud performance. Chris Godwin, 8 targets, 8 receptions, 83 yards and a touchdown. That was great. Mike Evans, 2 touchdowns, 5 for 61. Just, you know, these guys, we talked about it all offseason, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they are performers. And then Rashad White, 6 catches on 6 targets for 75 yards, just an absolute beast. And 15 on the ground for 31, not too great there. But Bucky Irving had a couple big runs too, 9 carries, 62 yards, 6.89 per carry. Very intriguing with Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's somebody I'll be paying attention to on waiver wires. I think he is a prime handcuff because he can come in and do the same things, but he may have some standalone value. Coaching staff talked about getting him some work as well. So he's somebody to look at for sure.
Yeah, and it's just funny talking about the Browns. Browns watching a game we'll talk about next, but the Browns watching Baker Mayfield go out there and throw for 289 and 4 touchdowns while they struggled. So funny. But, yeah, hats off to Baker. As far as the Commanders go, man, Jaden Daniels looked pretty good. Didn't make any mistakes really throwing the ball. Only 184 yards, but on the ground, 16 carries.
Yeah.
16 carries, 88 yards, and 2 touchdowns. This is why you drafted Jaden Daniels, and this is why he's a weekly starter for me.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, if you drafted him with someone else, that other guy's on your bench. Jaden Daniels needs to be started because 16 for 88 and 2 touchdowns is very, very good to see. So great, great performance from Jaden. And I think he'll, you know, be better at throwing the ball as the weeks progress. But Terry McLaurin, I really wanted to see more of him. He kind of let me down and I lost a little bit of money in my parlay for Terry McLaurin. But overall, just very intriguing. The running backs were the best wide receivers, or the best receivers in the game. Both had 4 targets. Austin Eckler, 4 for 52, and Brian Robinson, 3 for 49.
Yeah, Brian Robinson, he impressed me.
Absolutely, man. I mean, running the ball, he dominated. 12 carries to Austin Eckler's 2. So what we wanted to see here was, is Austin Eckler going to be running the ball? Is he only involved in the passing game? And it's looking like that. And Brian Robinson looked good. So I think both of them have standalone value. Austin in the passing game, if he's able to get 4 for 52, you're happy. You know. And then you said Zach Ertz, 3 for 28.
Missing the touchdown. Like, really, that's what I thought his line would be, like 3 for 30. But he would get the touchdown, so you'd be over in double digits. So I just missed the touchdown. But he was the clear tight end one on the team.
Yes, clear tight end one on the team and the biggest producer outside of the running backs. So that's intriguing, right?
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys just putting the whooping on the Cleveland Browns, 33-17, just right out the gate. We saw great stuff from the Cowboys. So what's your takeaway from the Cowboys? Talk to me.
I think it's going to be frustrating, but it's just going to be the recipe, and they're going to roll with it. They are going to have – it is a true running back by committee situation there. They are just going to rotate series. It just so happened – like, they didn't bring Zeke in on that goal line score. It just happened to be his series is why he got that. If Rico Dowdle, if that was his series, he would have stayed in there and gotten that opportunity is what they had said in the interviews afterwards. So that is going to be a true rotation, and who knows what's going to happen if they throw Dalvin Cook into this rotation or not. But this is going to be a situation tough to predict each week, because I don't think you can even though he had the score and he caught some passes, like, I don't think you can count on Zeke happening. I think it's a true rotation happening there at the running back spot.
Yeah, I'm just trying to avoid the running back room altogether until we see something develop. But, yeah, Zeke's not going anywhere. Rico's going to get his. But overall, yeah, this is a passing attack for the Cowboys. So,
yeah.
And then the Browns, Deshaun Watson, two interceptions, tough. He did throw a touchdown, 169 yards. David Njoku was heavily involved, which is great to see. Amari Cooper was not. Tip your hat off, Shane, because you were, you know, beating the drum. He is inconsistent, hot and cold, mm-hmm. 2 for 16 on the day on 9 targets. That's tough. But when they're coming from Deshaun Watson, as of right now, they're not looking good. So,
and David Njoku left that game. I think it's an ankle injury, I think. So it looked like he's probably going to miss some time. So,
yeah, definitely. Jerome Ford looked good, man. Six receptions, 25 yards and 7 targets, and then 12 carries, 44 yards and a touchdown. This is why I said start him, man. I really like what I saw from Jerome Ford, biggest piece on this offense as of right now. And Deshaun Watson did carry the ball a little bit. He did it 5 for 39, so you got a little bit of rushing upside there. But want to see better performances from Deshaun. He just didn't look good out there.
No, not at all.
No. And then we have the Sunday night football game, the thriller. The Lions beat the Rams 26-20 in a close game, ended up going to overtime. Man, that overtime drive.
Oh,
where they just
put their will on them.
Just run it. Like, the fact that a team can do that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hey, what are we doing? Do that all game. You know what I mean? David Montgomery looked like an absolute beast out there. Mm-hmm. But without that last drive in overtime, he was very similar to where Jahmyr Gibbs was. You know, Jahmyr 11 for 40 in a touchdown. David Montgomery ended up with 17-91 in a touchdown. But the majority of that came from that last drive. But the fact that they're willing to do that and David can get that done, they're going to do that moving forward. Like, that will be part of their game. But biggest takeaway, Jameson Williams, dude. We talked about this a lot this offseason. We were telling people to draft him. Ended up with 9 targets, 5 for 21. I just loved his energy out there. Yeah. He was just amped up, ready to go, happy to be in there. Not what you want to see from Amon-Ra, only 6 targets, 3 for 13. Tough performance from Amon-Ra. Even Laporta, too, 4 for 49. You know, I'm not really ticking Amon-Ra down, but as much as I am ticking Jameson up, you know, great performance from J-Mo, but I think this will balance out in weeks to come. You know what I mean? Amon-Ra is going to get his, Laporta is going to get his, and now Jameson is going to be a big factor in the passing game, too. It just bodes well for the Lions in general. Just absolute dominating performance offensively from, you know, later on in the game. It was a little tough in the beginning, not much going for him. But and then for the Rams, Matthew Stafford, 317 yards. You love to see that with the touchdown. Did throw a pick in the end zone. That really hurt me in my parlay because of that. I took the over. The over didn't hit. But Kyren Williams Blake Corum. Right, everyone's talking about Blake Corum coming in, taking his. I know, goose egg, man. I warned everybody about this. We talked about it previously with the Seahawks. They did the same thing where you're hyping up this rookie, but you got a guy like Kyren, man. 18 carries, 50 yards, and a touchdown. You know, 3 catches, 4 yards, not much there, but he is the guy. He's still the bell cow. Yep. That's not changing. Kyren is the guy, even though he's catching punts, doesn't matter. Right. Yeah. Everyone was worried about
it. Doesn't like, and doesn't if you look matter. At, think about it, like, I'd much rather, if I had the choice, I'd rather have him returning punts than kickoffs, because punts, he's going to probably just fair catch the ball almost every time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then Puka Nacua left with a knee injury. He's week to week now.
He's been put on the IR now.
Oh, actually, you're right. I did see that. He's on the IR, out for 4 weeks guaranteed. So Cooper Kupp, man, just an absolute 21 targets, 14 catches, 110 yards and a touchdown. He looked – like prime Cooper Kupp out there. So, hey, guess what, man? If you got Cooper Kupp on your team, you are in a good spot. Yeah. You are in a good spot. I unfortunately didn't draft enough of Cooper Kupp, but I wish I would have, because, man, he looks good. And I think that's going to continue as the weeks go on. This Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp. He's the guy that broke records last year, you know.
A little teaser for the Substack that's coming out. Go get look at DeMarcus Robinson to pick up. He's going to be the number two wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Ended up with 7 targets, 4 for 42. But great plug. Our waiver wire article is going to come out. Make sure you guys go follow the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. We're going to be highlighting some buys and sells on there as well, and just kind of covering the week as is, and where you should be going. And if you guys have any questions, please reach out to us on Twitter at @fantasy_trucker, at @smccormick_ff. And you guys are the best. But that concludes our fantasy takeaways, reactions from week one. Overall, just tough, man. Just there was, what, I think 12 quarterbacks threw for under 200 yards.
Yeah.
It's like something like that. So it's week one, shaking the cobwebs off. You know, a lot of guys don't play in the preseason, don't play enough in the preseason. Yeah, tough week one overall, I think, for everybody. Just wasn't as, you know, what everyone was expecting. Right.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Well, be on the lookout. We got a red light, green light coming up later this week. Great stuff for you guys. You guys are the best. And buckle up.